Brother Sism, our missionary director, Brother Yaden, to all of you, we're glad to be in the house of the Lord with you tonight. What did you come to see? What did you come to see? Whatever it is, look at it and get it over with, and let's... Amen. And if you came to be seen, well, just put up your hands and kind of... Let's get it all out of the way and let's have church. Hallelujah! I have looked forward to coming to the District of Oregon. And... yet I come with a burdened heart. I ask you not to judge me. As an individual, until you hear the conclusion of the matter. Number one, I know what to preach to make you shout. But I didn't come to make you shout. That is the least of my worries and my desire. I want you to enjoy it. But I may never pass this way again. And therefore I must leave this campground with clean hands. Hallelujah. And I wish that it was possible tonight for us just to informally in the presence of God pull up a chair and sit down in God's great living room and talk to Him a little while. But more so, let Him talk to us. We do an awful lot of talking to God. And we do very little listening. Talking to Brother Toole on the way to the tabernacle tonight, I appreciate the United Pentecostal Church. There is a rash wave going through our fellowship of wanting to disaffiliate churches, and we get letters, people wanting to get out. Where are you going when you get out? It's cold outside. Right? I'm glad that I'm a part of this. I don't want to be identified with any other group in this world. You are the ones I want to be identified with. Hallelujah. And I appreciate this church. I appreciate this organization. I appreciate the truth that it's given to me. I appreciate the gospel being preached around the world. And I love what I feel tonight. Hallelujah! 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 But I have a message in my heart. With everything as great as it is, and as much as I love this great church, there comes a time that God needs to speak to all of us. And I've asked the Lord to speak to me tonight. Hallelujah. And lest I weary you, you that have your Bibles, turn with me to the second book of Peter. And let's just put all the formalities aside, because I'll probably take off my coat before I'm through. Is that all right? They say make yourself at home. Well,
amen.
Come to my house. If you take your shoes off at home, well, you can take them off at my house. Now, if you prop your muddy feet upon the furniture at home, don't do that at my house. But I want us to just lay everything aside, and you'll get acquainted with me before this is over. And I want us to have camp meeting.
Yes.
Amen. And out of the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2, I begin reading at verse 15, and I read down through verse 17. Then we will go into the book of Galatians and read chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, and verse 9. Then out of the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 21, and verse 10. And then the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1, and verse 10 through 15. Quite lengthy. Notice the reading of the word of the Lord, 2 Peter chapter 2. Which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass, speaking with a man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, how many of you believe this? Ye which are spiritual, notice that, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. And now verse 9. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Still with me? First Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10. Notice what it says about this woman. And she was in bitterness of soul, prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child. Then I will give him
under the law all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now had she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Strange readings, but I feel like reading this to you tonight. And Mizpah, the daughter of Ai, 2 Samuel 21 and verse 10, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven. And suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. Before I give you a subject, and before we pray, I'm going to preach something to you tonight. That's probably a strange thing. And you may not agree with me. But I want you with Brother Foss tonight. Let's ask God together to speak to us. Would you do it? And then let's listen to Him. Let's pray. Lord, we're in need of You tonight. We need You desperately, O God. We're asking You to come. Lay Your hands upon us. Let us feel the touch of Your Spirit. O God, let us feel the touch of Your Spirit. Let us feel the weight of the burden of the Lord. O God, speak to every heart. Speak to every youth camper that's here. Speak to every mother and dad that's here. We need You, Lord. We need You, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I did not know until I arrived here. I probably should have known that we were being involved in a youth camp also. I wonder how many we have here in the youth camp that does not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Would you lift up your hand and say, Brother Foster, don't have it? All right. How many of you would like to see them get the Holy Ghost? I appreciate revival. I heard a brother tonight that I haven't met touch on the fact that they were having revival at his church. Five received the Holy Ghost Sunday. Fantastic. I was brought up under an old school. Now, before you judge me, let me get through. because I'm fixing to say something that you're not going to like, but I'm going to say it anyway. Okay? You may want me to go home in the morning, and I may want to go home. I was brought up in the old school that there would not be end time revival. But I was told there would be a falling away. But to my absolute amazement, and to my surprise, God is sending His church the greatest revival the church has ever known. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so with this knowledge in our heart, I want to talk to you about the lost art of burden bearing. Everything in our churches, we have them. Ushers, Sunday school superintendents, directors of Christian education, musical directors, assistant pastors, deacons, elders, ladies auxiliary. Have I missed anything? Bus ministry. We have everything that we could have in a Pentecostal church. And many of these things did not exist in its early beginning. But we have not relegated anybody and delegated authority to them to be burden bearers. Think about it. But ironically as it could be, when the church first began, we didn't have bus ministry. We didn't have deacons. We didn't have elders. We didn't have assistant pastors because there was really no churches to pastor. When my old dad started, you just got out on the street somewhere at a railroad station and you started preaching and you had revival. Come on. But without all of that, we did have somebody that knew how to bear a burden. Hallelujah. Our church in the city of Houston, for the past 5 years, revival has burned brilliantly. Never a weekend goes by that somebody doesn't pray through. Baptizing people. Last Monday night, I just happened to go by the church. 10 were lined up. We've been looking for you. Want you to baptize us. Sent me word this morning. 6, Brother Foss, need to be baptized tonight. Get Brother Tipton, our assistant, to do it. I'll be in Oregon. Revival. 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 Mississippi Youth Camp just a few weeks ago. One night, 117 filled with the Holy Ghost like a blaze of fire. Hallelujah. came home around our altars. 28 received the Holy Ghost. One night, Texas youth camp. I happened to be privileged to go one night. Wasn't preaching that. That doesn't matter who preached what. It's the Spirit of the Lord that we're looking for. And that night that we was there, many, 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 many people receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We look at everything, everywhere we go. We see revival, 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 revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Had a break in our city. I just want to talk to you about revival a minute because I got something else to tell you. Had a group of young people called me. Like to talk to you in the office, Brother Foss. I said, all right, I'll be there in a little while. I walked in, there was 28. And I took them into the parlor of the church that joins my office. It's like a living room. And I took them in there and got some chairs and we all sit down. They said, we want to know about water baptism in Jesus' name. And the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Spanish-speaking group. Half of them couldn't even speak English or understand what I was saying. Had to do it through an interpreter. I baptized every one of them. They have been filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! I'm talking about revival. The interpreter the other night was talking to some young men while I was preaching. One of them said, told him to be quiet. Don't say any more. I want to see if I can feel what that preacher's feeling. And in about 3 minutes, he raised up his hands and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave him the utterance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We could stand here and tell you about miracles. More miracles than the church has ever seen is happening right now. Hallelujah. But in the midst of it all, the greatest revival we've ever seen, we're also having the greatest falling away the church has ever seen. While you're praying them through at the altar, they're slipping out the side doors, the back doors, the front doors, walking away and never to return back to the kingdom of God again. Hear me. I'm not talking about people that are just a nobody. Some big bodies have fell. Our ministry is under attack. We're under pressure. Every day that you turn around, you're afraid, oh God, what's going to happen today? Falling away like we've never seen. Hey, I could really tell you about it. You know, maybe not in this area, but in the Pentecostal churches, there are some of them in our city, men that I've rubbed shoulders with, men that I've known, men that are my friends, that are in this great church. Social drinking has come to a point that it is a menace in that church. Young people walk into your office. I can't talk to anybody in our church. And I don't want to change churches, but I'm becoming an alcoholic. You better hear what Brother Foss is telling you tonight. I've got something in my heart I want to talk to you about. Falling away. falling away. Beautiful girl, played the organ, played in our church, married a boy, 10 years ago left, came back into another church. They say that whatever you want to do, do it. If it don't condemn you, you're all right. Her parents still in our church. She is still United Pentecostal. I'm not under bondage anymore. I used to live, almost lost my mind, trying to live what they preached to me. But today, shorts, blue jeans, cut hair, makeup, earbuds, rings, beads, everything. Oh, you may not like what I'm telling you, but I'm telling you that in the midst of revival, there is a falling away like we have never experienced in our life. Hallelujah! 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 What is it that brings us to this point? How is it that we are caught in the clutches of revival on one hand, God pouring out His Spirit, God blessing a church so mightily, and right on the other hand, in the same body, loosening, backing up, letting go, drawing back, saying, not now, but oh God, if this church ever needed a baptism of conviction, we need it tonight. Oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love victory. But how can you have victory when there is no battle? What have you done when you whip a man that won't fight? Victory, what is it when there is no battle? The prerequisite of victory or success in the kingdom of God has got to come from the results of somebody knowing how to bear a burden and win a victory. Our problem is this. God has given us everything. And when you give your kids everything, they don't appreciate anything. Hey, let's don't kid ourselves. Foreign missions. Our international director is here. We haven't given sacrificially to foreign missions. We've given what we want to give. And that's all. Revival come! Did it come because you really deserved it? Well, then how can you talk about it so much? It just happened. And so you come to church, and you don't give it any thought. You just come to expect it, that it's going to be there tonight, and everything is going to happen the way we want it to happen, and we don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to do it. And it happens. If you study the history of Israel, she never got into trouble when she was in a battle. Hear me. But after the battle was over, she counted her spoils. She tasted the sweetness of victory. She stopped inquiring of the Lord. She lost her diligence. And it was in the peril of these ordinary days that she lost herself in the kingdom of God. What is it, my friend? What is it? When there is no battle, we don't know what victory really is. It just happens to us. It just comes. 25 prayed through. What caused it? I don't know. Don't leave me yet. I got a message for you tonight. When there is no battle, we're subject to do anything. When you quit praying, then you lose your hold on God. And it's not in us, Brother King, to pray when everything is well. We seem to have it locked away in our heart that the only time we can pray is when trouble comes. And we say, give me this, give me that, do this, do that. Why can't we get it in our heart that I need to get somewhere and just love Him a minute? I challenge you, Pentecostal church tonight, try it. You probably could not pray 10 minutes and talk to God without asking Him for something. Just 10 minutes. You couldn't for 10 minutes love Him and say, you mean so much to me and I love you. I give you my all. I consecrate my spirit to you. I give my life to you. You can't do it without coming around. Lord, bless me here. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. And we have so much spiritually that we really don't need burden bearers. We've got it all. Israel, when you marched around Jericho, your leader sought God, and God spoke to him. God talked to him. God told him where to put you. God told him how many times you were to march. God told Joshua where to have you in line. What to carry in your hands. When to blow your trumpet. When to shout. Everything to do. Because there he was. But not until after the walls fell did a man pick up a Babylonian garment and a wedge of gold. The marching was over. The shouting was over. The blowing the trumpet was over. But again, the man of God went back and said, God, what's wrong with us? And he said, there's sin in the camp, son. And if you will march them by me, I'll let you know where your problem lies. And that's how they found out who took the wedge of gold. But where was this diligence? When the Gibeonites walked in with old shoes, old bread, old tattered clothes, old torn garments, and they walked in and said, we come from a far country. And if Israel had had the diligence that they had been having before, there would have been no compromise. There would have been no giving in. There would have been no lowering themselves. There would have been no taking on the drawers of water and the hewers of wood. If they had been in a battle, they would not have made their league. Stay with me a minute. We got a lot of people looking at us. Got a lot of people looking this way. But honey, don't be deceived by molded bread and old shoes.
Are you hearing what I'm telling you? I got a call about the middle of May while I was teaching at Texas Bible College in the advanced doctrine class. I put together an overture of our doctrine, the oneness of God, humanity of Christ, and the water baptism, how, why, and when, what is water, why water, purification, the regeneration of spirit, and the us image, and the right hand answer, and all of this, and I put it together in a book form. I got a call the other day in May, and I had given it out to the students, and I said, don't copy it. I don't want you to copy it. There's no copyright on it. You keep it. Don't let anybody else have it. And a man called me and said, are you Brother Foss? I said, yes, I am. Are you the one that wrote this overview of the doctrine of the oneness of God? I said, well, about 10 years ago, yes. How did you get a hold of it? He said, well, let me tell you who I am. He said, I am on the executive board of the Church of God in Prophecy. We've got 600 preachers tonight in a seminar that'll be here for 3 nights. And we have found this book and we want to study it. But I need to make 4 copies, one for me and one for the 3 other members of our executive board. Would you allow us to do it? I said, what are you doing this for? He said, there's something that we found that we may have been wrong all the time. And we want to look into it. Oh, listen, sir. I thought, oh God, we are on the verge of revival. But then it struck my heart. Look at the shoe. No battle. No victory. And we're being set up for the greatest compromise that we have ever seen in our lives. And oh God, help some of us to understand that we've got to go on our face. We've got to have a birth of all time burden bearing. God, let us know. Let us know. I don't need to pursue that anymore. Charismatics. Everything you can think of, bring it in. Look, people are getting the Holy Ghost by the thousands, so they say. Brother Foss, man, if we had them, we'd have money. God didn't want Israel to have anybody to draw their water. He didn't want anybody to chop their wood. When they found out the Gibeonites deceived them, they said, all right. You'll draw our water. You'll chop our wood. But that wasn't the plan of God. The plan of God is that every man must bear his own burden. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there was ever a time that we need an old-fashioned baptism of convictions, we need them now. Hallelujah. Let's look at it. Why don't we have people that really know how to bear burdens? Because we don't need them. Israel, why didn't you chop wood? We got somebody to chop it for us. Now let me talk to you just a minute. The very design, the very anatomy of a woman, she is designed to bear children. Amen? The very design, the anatomy of this church is to bear children. Everybody say amen. Everybody say amen. The very design of this church is to bring forth. I have espoused you one time. You're mine. Oh, but when God talked to Judah through the prophet Malachi. Said you married the daughter of a strange God. Said you went off and married her. And said you draped yourself over the altar with tears and with weepings and offerings, but I will not receive them anymore. Why, God? He said, Judah, take heed to your spirit. Because I, by the residue of spirit, I am searching for righteous seed. And honey, if we're not careful, we will be raising deformed children. Come on. You just as well say amen. We'll be raising a bunch of imbeciles that don't know anything about what old-fashioned, old-time apostolic power is all about. Hallelujah. 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 My old grandmother, she was a midwife in Harris County, delivered over 3,000 babies. I went to the courthouse the other day and I was getting some registration papers for the bus, and the woman saw my name. She said, Foss. She looked up at me and she said, you in a relation to Mother Foss? I said, yeah, that was my grandmother. And she went back to her type and said, she delivered me when I was born. And I thought, well, hallelujah. Brother Foss, why are you telling us that? Would you allow me to talk to you a minute? I'm going to preach to you in just a little while, but I want to talk to you some more. Hallelujah. The way that children are born, I remember hearing my wife. Oh, God. My old grandmother stood there. Come on, honey. It's time. You're going to be delivered. Oh, God. How long has it been since you've been in a real revival where you heard some old saint of God under the spirit and power of travail? Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, honey, if they've done that today, would be just like I read to you. A woman in the temple was praying at an altar, and she was under such power and travail. The dim-eyed priest looked at her and said, what's wrong with you? You're drunk. Hannah, you're drunk. If tonight, before these youngsters come to this altar, the spirit of travail would hit this place and we'd see some of them born into the kingdom, my friend, it would be a genuine birth. It wouldn't be a ta-ta-ta and a G-G-G and a shaking of the chin, but it would be an absolute birth of the power of Jesus Christ. Hey, listen to me. A dad will disown a child. A dad will say, I'm through. A dad will say, I'm not doing anymore. But if that mother had ever been in labor and she's ever been in travail, honey, you could haul her kids off to jail, but she'd walk right along by them. Honey, honey, honey. Honey, I asked the little grandmother the other day, you're 83 years old. How much longer are you going to send that boy that's in prison? He's on drugs. You sold your home. You spent all that. You've got another home. And what are you going to do? You take care of children every day. 3 years, 83. You babysit kids every day. To send a 15-year-old boy, money that's in prison, been in prison most of his life, gets out, goes back, gets out, goes back. When are you going to stop? He's my baby, Brother Frost. He's my baby. He's my baby. But because it costs you nothing to pray them through, you don't even miss them until they're gone 4, 5, 6 weeks. And you're suddenly, hey, where is Susie tonight? Where is Johnny tonight? It's simply because you are not a real mother. I'm sorry, Brother Two. It's in my heart. I was told not long ago, get a specialist. You need a specialist. You want to have a revival? I don't need a specialist. Honey, we take a notion we want a revival. You know how we get it? We reach in our billfold. We hire some of these top flight hotshot evangelists that won't go to the little church, that won't go to the crossroads. They'll come to Bethel Tabernacle. There's 1,000 people on Sunday night. They can come into that church. One was there last night. And he stood there and said, man, where'd all these folks come from? I've never seen a crowd like this in a local church. Oh, yeah. But honey, if you really love God, you don't mind going to the jails. You don't mind going to the crossroads. You don't mind going anywhere. If you really love God. Call in your expert. Get some real singers. They'll get you a crowd. Brother King, I got a boy that's a singer. And he's got a trio that travels with him. They got a big Silver Eagle bus and all this stuff. Fantastic preacher. One of the finest music groups I ever heard. And yet one of the greatest ministers I ever heard come from a young man. I live in a mortal fear that he'll become warped and will start giving people cheap revivals. Honey, you don't sing them through. Every time he comes home, I said, David, if you don't remember anything else your old daddy tells you, number one, you're a preacher. Can't be saved without a preacher. Can't be saved without a preacher. Can't be saved without a preacher. Cheap revivals. Cheap revivals. Let me tell you about the cheap revival. You want to hear it? Let me tell you about it. Here they come into Bethel Tabernacle. And man, before I could turn around, five got the Holy Ghost. 10 got the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Man, baptizing people by the droves. Everything that was baptized got the Holy Ghost. Number was up to 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, 65, 70. 75, 80, no travail, no praying, no preaching, no nothing. Brother King, I sat down one night and I said, what in this world is going on? Where is that 85? But I brought in a little old East Texas clod-hopping preacher that didn't know C from G. Couldn't read very good. But oh, when I got to church at 6 o'clock, he was over there laying between the altars in a prayer room. I heard him, oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh.
couple of hundred people went through the prayer rooms. He never looked up. Oh, God. Oh, the organ started. The choir was on the platform. They got ready to sing. They started singing. The boys that start the service come to the office and said, "Brother Foss, it's time for us to start. It's time for you to be on the platform. We've already had prayer. We've already had congregational singing. We're taking up the offering. It's time for the preaching." I had to go out there. Laying down between the altars. Had to tap him on the shoulder. I shook him. I said, "Brother, it's time." I said, "Okay." Didn't bother to get his handkerchief out. Took his sleeve. Got up. Put his coat on. Walked to the pulpit. Not a big, powerful preacher. Just a simple word. Didn't fill up the altar. Only three or four came. Oh, that night, when they come to the altar, it wasn't 10 minutes. It wasn't 15 minutes. It wasn't 20 minutes. It wasn't 30. At midnight, I scooped one of them in my arm up. I started packing them toward the car. And I couldn't understand what they were saying. They were just speaking in tongues. It wasn't just a little gibber. They were speaking fluently in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One month, 2 months, 3 months, 5 months, a year, now 2 years. Every time I preach, I look out there. There's that one I picked up and carried out. Shirt wet. Last one out of the prayer room. If you'll pray like you want the Holy Ghost one little bit, they'll stay with you until it's midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. They come to me Sunday to fill up the baptistry. I've got six that want to be baptized tonight. Honey, that's your burden bearers. I know that it's about time for me to close, but let me talk to you a minute. When Joshua let the Gibeonites come in, the far-reaching results was not known until the judges were passed, until a king had been anointed. His kingdom was over with. Another king was anointed. And in order to satisfy the Gibeonites, David said, "What is it going to take for me to satisfy you?" And they said, "We don't want money and we don't want gold, but we want 7 of your sons. Why can't we open our eyes and see our little old Pentecostal kids being choked to death by the junk that we let come into the church because we don't pray? We don't want your money. We don't want your gold. But we want your kids. Oh God, oh God, if you could just understand that somebody has got to wake up and learn how to get a hold of God." Brother Foss, I never heard nobody preach like this in a camp meeting. No, and I confess, I've never preached like this in a camp meeting in my life. Losing our little old Pentecostal kids. You preachers need to wake up. You're trying to save others. Tonight,
I started my 104th camp meeting tonight. I've seen probably thousands receive the Holy Ghost, but for my own fighting for my life, you Gibeonites, what do you want? Give us 7 sons. Okay? Here's 5 from Ashael and 2 from Rift. You can have them. Kill them boys. Stretch them out. Let the sun bloat their bodies. When the devil has stolen your daughter, when he's stolen your girl, when he's stolen your boy, he'll sit back in the corner and laugh at you. You saved others, but your own you couldn't save. Oh, God, help us. Wake up and understand that there is a place we can get. There is a place we can go. There is something we can do. There's a God we can talk to. There's a God we can love. There's a God that we can come to. Oh, oh God. And a burden will strike your heart that you can't eat. You can't sleep. You can't do anything. Pray, pray, pray. That wasn't the end of it. I'm going to come back to the end in a moment. Let me carry you a step further. Because of the league with the Gibeonites, when they killed the sons of Saul, because of that killing, David said, I'll honor Mephibosheth. Right? And Mephibosheth was a slobbering, palsied, crippled. And David was so ashamed of him. When the royalty come to eat with him, he put a napkin over his legs where nobody could see it. That Pentecostal church, aren't you tired of having a cripple sit at your table? Wait a minute. Aren't you tired of going over and taking a bottle of oil and anointing with oil? And every time you would believe God and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, there's something rises up and you see a slobbering cripple sitting there to tell you, hey, you don't have the power anymore. Aren't you tired of praying and nothing happening? Maybe you're not, but I'm sick at my stomach. I'm mad at myself. I'm disgusted with me, Brother King. Because I was designed to bring forth. Ashael cried for a day or two. She forgot about it. They took those boys up to the top of the mountain. The little woman followed up there, Brother Toole. Her name was Rizpa. The feeling in her system. Nearly died for them boys. They belong to me. They took the old wagon and
Their little bodies was draped across. They took the wagon and they dumped it over. Straightened it back up, and there was that whole pile of bones and skin. A little old woman got her some sackcloth. Got out there on a stone. In the daytime, she covered them up. The lion tried to come up, smell the decaying flesh. When she saw that lion in the bushes, not afraid, bold, she took that sack. No! You will never get him! They're mine! In the night, she hears the howl of the jackal. She'd get up. The next day she looked up. There was vultures circling. The dead carcass, yeah, I know it. She'd wait. Get down low until those vultures would almost light on those boys. And she'd get up. No! You better wake up, sir. Because we forgot how to pray. We're feeding our kids to the lions. We're feeding our kids to the jackal. Nobody's here to fight that horrible hyena of drugs. Stalking him every day. Somebody better pick up something. I'll walk with you, son. I'll walk with your daughter. They're not going to get you. They're not going to have you. They're not going to get you. No, no, no. You see, the first step toward it is the spirit of worldliness, is the spirit of not praying, is the spirit of being unconcerned. God, wake up this church. And give us a flag and help us. Help us, God. Help us, God. Help us, God. Brother Falls, I can't do it. There was a little boy watching some sheep. While he was there, there came a lion. And the Spirit of the Lord come on him, Brother King. And the Bible said that he slew that lion with hands. He pulled him apart. A bear came out and he killed that bear. I believe that in this audience tonight, there is some that's big enough to withstand the that's trying to devour the young people of this church, that's trying to devour the message of this United Pentecostal Church. God made us to bring forth, bring forth, bring forth. Brother Pastor, forgive me, but let me talk to you a minute. Eli, you better open your eyes. Let the priesthood become polluted. You're so far away that you don't know what it is when you God, better let somebody come and stand between the living and the dead tonight. Just a minute. Just a minute.
Brother Toole, I don't want to apologize to you. But the burden of my revival, yes. But while you're praying the drug addict through, while you're getting somebody to draw your water, and you're getting somebody to chop your wood, that means your devil's got your little boy. Come go with me. Come on. Come on, buddy. Come on, it's going to be all right. Honey, you better wake up and get your eyes on something else. And get off of something and fight that devil off and say, no, 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 no. Oh, I feel this tonight, church. There's some of these kids that's in this youth camp. If you don't pray them through this year, by this time next year, the needle will be going in their arms. The pills will be going down their throats. The marijuana will be between their fingers, because nobody will fight those buzzards away and those vultures away and fight the lions off. Somebody better get a hold of a burden tonight and say, God, when they pray through, let it be real. Let it be real. Let it be real. Let it be real. Brother Foss, what good does it do to sit there and watch? They're gone. One day the traveler come by and saw Rizpah. What are you doing? The Bible said it was from the harvest until the filling of Jordan. 6 months. That traveler come by. Bones now. Still sitting there. No lion had ever chewed on bone. No jackal had ever broke through. Not one came to pick the eyes out. Her vigil. Her perseverance. I will not leave my kids. I will not leave my kids. The traveler said, why don't you go to town? I won't leave my kids. That traveler went to town. Saw David, the king. He said, David, out there on the mountain, I saw a woman. She was standing over skeletons. My skin and bones. She's thin. She's haggard and she's worn. David, what are you doing? Where was she? He told him. He sent a runner out there. He said, go and see what this man's talking about. That guy started up through the brush. Rizpah stood up. No. He backed up because he knew who she was. Went back. David? That's Rizpah. Watching over the sons of Saul and her two boys. Rizpah. That old king turned around. Said, go get my chariot. They brought out that gold-plated chariot. They brought out them big, super stallion horses. See the long hair around the plumes of their feet. The tails tied up just right.
They put the silver studded harness on, put the bells on. The driver had the plumes in his hair. And as those beautiful things went marching down the street, where you going? We're going to get Rizpah, because word has come to the king. Hey, can you see what I'm looking at right now? What you going to do? We're going to put them in my grave. We're going to put them in my tomb. Everything's going to be all right. Here's what I'm telling you. If you'll watch long enough, if you'll hold on long enough, word is going to get to King Jesus. He's going to send a chariot full of the Holy Ghost and fire. Son, shake my hand. Have you got the Holy Ghost? How long have you had it?
About 4 years.
4 years? You don't know anything about drugs, do you? You don't know anything about liquor, do you? Do you know that devil's after you tonight? Do you need a Rizpah? Do you need a burden bearer? I want you to look at me. Come here, son. You got the Holy Ghost? How long you had it? A couple of months. Where'd you get it?
Church.
Who's your pastor?
Brother Barlow.
Who?
Barlow.
Brother Barlow. God bless you, Brother Barlow, wherever you are. I feel this little heart. It's about to beat out of this little shirt. But you hear what I'm telling you tonight? Somebody better come stand by these boys. Hey, son. Come here. You got the Holy Ghost? When did you get it?
3 years
ago. You still got it? Anybody ever talk to you about drugs? You know they do that, don't they? You need somebody who's going to stand with him? Hey, buddy, you with the necktie on. Move down, boy. You got the Holy Ghost? Had it a year, February the 14th. How old are you? Anybody ever offer you drugs? You ever fool with them? You did. You know that devil's still there, don't you? Who's your pastor?
A. King.
Barry A. King. Sitting on the platform. He needs the Rizpah. Son, come here. You got the Holy Ghost? You don't have. How old are you?
You're 8.
Whose church you go to? Brother King's. Don't have the Holy Ghost. Do you want it, honey? Come on, say yeah.
Yeah.
You'd like to have it tonight?
Yeah.
Who's going to be the midwife that's going to deliver this little darling tonight? I hope I've told you something that you don't forget soon. What do you want? I know we've let down. I know we've compromised in some areas. But what's it going to take to get it away? We want your boy. And so, Rizpah, I'm talking to you tonight. I want every eye closed. I want every head bowed. I didn't know camp meeting was this way. You're going to pray them through tonight. Where they're going to be next week. All you young people don't have the Holy Ghost. I want you to come right now if you want it.
I don't want you to wait. I want you to come on right now if you want the Holy Ghost. All of you that don't have it, just get up and come on, because the Rispa is going to come with you. Somebody's going to come here with you tonight. It's going to be different than it's always been. It's going to be different. It's not going to be the same. How about it? Any of you adults that need the Holy Ghost, come on. I'm not just talking to young people. I'm talking to you. Now I want this audience to stand. The Lord sent me to Oregon. The Lord sent me to Oregon to find a Rizpah. He sent me to Oregon to preach this message to you tonight. I'm asking you to come if God's talked to you. If the Lord spoke to you, I want you to come. You're the next ones I want. If the Lord spoke to you, I want you to come. When you get up here, I want you to pray in Rizpah. Don't just stand there. I want you to take the line in your hands. How about it, Brother Pastor? How about it? You need a midwife tonight.